Ah, yes, open lines, more to come on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back. Here we go. Wild card line, you're on the air with us. Hello there.
Hi there.
Hi.
George, yes. I have a question for you. Well, I have a few, if that's okay.
Yeah, sure.
One of the things I've always been curious about is how when you'll have callers that call in and they're questioning our physical beings versus our spiritual beings. And you know how in Genesis it says that we were created in God's likeness? I don't think that means physically. Do you?
Well, that's a good question. It could be spiritual likeness.
Yeah, a consciousness type thing.
Very
right?
Possible. Yep, that's possible.
Well, the second question I have, and I'd love to hear what your callers had to say about that first question, if anybody wanted to comment on that. But the second question was, have you ever had a guest on that ever talked about the phenomenon that took place with metal objects that came out of Medjugorje, you know, how they turned to gold? Have you ever had a guest on that discussed that? And what causes that phenomenon?
Tell me more.
Okay, well, I have a rosary I like to use as a meditative tool to meditate. I meditate every day, 2 hours.
Okay.
And I got this back in 87 and 88 directly out of Yugoslavia, out of Medjugorje.
Okay.
And all of a sudden, I get a call from my girlfriend who brought it back to me, and she asked me to retrieve it and to look at it because I had a little prayer room. And I pulled it out, and she said, Sandra, is it changing gold? I mean, is it changing color? I said, oh, my God. Part of it was gold, and part of it was the silver, and it was all silver when she gave it to me. And during the progression of praying, I still have this thing. And I've always been curious, what caused that to happen? What process? And I started doing a bunch of research. By the way, I listened to you on my computer because I do not get. I've listened to Coast to Coast for 1,000 years. Y'all didn't know you were on that long.
That's how old we are.
Yeah, that's right. I know this, you know. But anyway, I started looking on the internet to see if I can find anything out about this, because it's not only that changes on me. I could be holding a leaf, I could be holding something, and this weird stuff happens. And I've just always been curious, why, what causes this? What caused my rosary to, it's beautiful, I've got pictures of it on the internet. I've been trying to put all these experiences together and put it into a, well, I have a blog and so forth, you know, the normal internet thing. But I'm real curious if you've ever had a guest that can explain this.
What was the original stone? What was it when it started?
I'm sorry? What was the original condition of it?
Yeah, what was it made with?
Just regular silver. Regular, like silver links.
And then it turned into gold.
Beautiful gold. It's a beautiful, yeah.
Can you verify that?
Yes, sir. It's on the internet, and a lot. This hasn't only happened to me. It's a phenomenon. Lots of people have had this happen.
Oh, that's. I haven't done a show on it, but it's worth looking into.
I'm just so curious about that. You know, about what happens and what causes that to happen.
Do you think it's a scientific event or a spiritual event?
You know, I believe that science is the mind of God. And so I don't believe that there is a separation. I don't like to say I believe too much, but I don't think that there is a separation between God and science. I think God is the master scientist, just like Einstein said, science is nothing without the mind of God. And so I do think there's a phenomenon involved, maybe even zero point, something involved that causes this phenomenon that science just, I was hoping we've come to that point, because I've lived with this mystery for so long, I'm about to come out of my skin looking for answers.
And it only happens from rosaries from that region?
Yes, sir. I understand that there's a whole bunch of sites online dedicated to this phenomenon, but nobody has been able to. I'm of the mind that I'd like to know why that happened. I love that it happened. I feel blessed that it did, but that's not the point. The point is what caused it to happen? What phenomenon?
And it never went back. It never reverts back to silver.
And you know what I was thinking? I was thinking, shoot, I can save the world. I'm going to do this every day. I'm going to grab a metal object. I'm going to hold my rosary. And I'm going to pick a group of people I'm going to pray for. And I'm going to make gold for them. And then I'm going to take it to Houston Gold Exchange. I'm going to get the money and take it to the charity.
Good. You're like the goose that laid the golden egg, if this is real.
I mean, wouldn't that be neat if it worked?
Absolutely.
And so that was really my, I've really been curious about that and wondering, and I'm sure if anybody, if you have a research group, if they looked it up on the internet, they'll find that there's several people, it's not just me, several people have really wondered about this phenomenon. And I mean, it's all over the internet. It can be substantiated because I have the rosary, even still, the crucifix part of it, the actual cross has never turned gold. It's still the same silver, but Jesus is a beautiful color. And I just like to use it as a meditative tool because it's so calming.
All right. Well, we'll check into it.
Okay,
I mean, it's a great story. Thanks. Okay. First-time caller line, you're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hello there.
Yes, hello, George. My name is Bob, and I'm calling from scenic Arizona.
Hi, Bob.
And I've got a couple of questions I've been meaning to ask you for a long time, and glad I was able to get through. The first one is, have you ever had any contact with anyone from the John Birch Society to do any kind of interview? Obviously, they've been around for a long time and talking about, you know, the conspiracy to bring about a one-world government. Has there ever been any effort to try to get any of those folks on?
I got to be very honest with you, Bob. Not since I've been doing Coast to Coast, but I did interview someone from the John Birch Society during my early days in radio in the early 70s. I didn't think they were still around, are they?
Oh, yes, they're very active. They're still putting out a lot of information on their website, on the internet, and selling a lot of, keeping current DVDs and information available to people. They're still active putting out the magazines, and they're still out there and going strong, trying to put out a lot of good information. They have a magazine issue about the New World, or not the New World, or North American Union.
So they're opposed to that?
Oh, yes. They've had some issues that have been somewhat supportive, I believe, of Ron Paul.
Well, they used to be, I know in the 70s, they used to be considered ultra-conservative.
Oh, of course.
And are they still that way, or have they, it sounds like they've kind of tilted back maybe a little more libertarian.
They're still talking about, you know, the efforts to bring about the one world government, and their views go along with a lot of what Alex Jones has said, and I really appreciate Coast to Coast for bringing out a lot of information you don't get anywhere else. Another question that I also have has been on chemtrails, and I live somewhat near Las Vegas, Nevada, and I see in the skies quite often, the crisscrossing patterns that linger for hours and hours, and I've been curious to know if in these jets flying over, if they're dumping out materials, be it, you know, chemical of some sort or even biological, would these have to be additives put into the fuel, or would they be sprayed out by a separate type of release mechanisms? Would it take a pilot, flipping a switch to release this material, or can you give me a little more information? I'm really not as well knowledgeable as I should be on the chemtrail issue.
I'm told that they have separate tanks and that a pilot has to flip a switch in order to release the contents. And then we hear all kinds of theories on what this might be. First of all, not to be confused with true jet vapor, which happens.
Right.
But I don't think jet vapor lingers as long as chemtrails are supposed to.
No, the contrails, you can see them up in the sky, and they're disappearing rapidly as the jet is moving along. But the chemtrails are definite. They linger and expand, and they'll go on for hours and hours and cover the whole sky sometimes around here. And I've just been real curious as to whether or not there would be, some need for the pilot to actually release this material.
I'm told yes. I had one pilot call me in all the years we've done these stories. I don't know if he was a pilot, honestly,
right.
But he said that, he would fly them around, and the possible contents would be weather manipulation material. They're dumbing us down with some kind of prescription
biological
that they spray on us. I don't think it's biological agents in that they're not killing us.
Okay.
They're trying to control us. But the two major ones are weather manipulation and or trying to dumb us down.
Yeah, there's certainly a great deal of effort in dumbing down, and that's going on in the school systems. But,
you don't have to spray to do that.
No, so anyway, but, yeah, I just had those couple of questions that I've had in my mind for a long time. I'm really glad I was able to get through, and I really appreciate being able to get the StreamLake, the podcast on my iTunes in order to be able to, get the full programs. I can't always stay up late at night to hear the whole program, so it's great to be able to have that service available so I can listen to everything that, I enjoy the program so much. So anyway, I thank you so much. You have a good night, sir.
You too, and I bet there are a lot of people in the Midwest who must be exhausted today because of the earthquake, because this thing rumbled at 4:30 in the morning, and all these people who are asleep aren't used to late night stuff, and they were woken up early, and they probably have passed out by now, and they had a full day of work, and you would not believe it, at least here in the St. Louis area, how many zombies there were walking around at 6:00 this evening. I mean, people who got woken up, frightened by the earthquake. They never went back to sleep. Normally they wake up at 7, 8 o'clock, and that throws you off. I know sometimes when I get a phone call, I keep my phone on because, I always figure something's happening. So I keep it on, and people always seem to forget that you get off the air in the wee hours, whether I'm in LA or St. Louis, which is the central time here. And they wake you up. And even when you get woken up for 10 minutes and you go back to bed, it throws you off, doesn't it? Next up, let's go to our wild card line. Where are you calling from? Hi there.
Hi.
Where might you be?
I'm from Virginia.
Okay.
I'm just so surprised. It's been a long time. I've been on hold. Great to talk to you, George.
Thank you.
My question is, have you ever had anyone call in or maybe had a guest speak of demonic oppression, not possession, but oppression?
Explain that one.
Okay. It's where, like, possession is like...
Well, we know that.
Like Emily Rose type thing.
Right.
Okay, where, or an exorcist type thing. Oppression is where one is affected from the outside by demonic forces. But
physically, you mean?
Physically, yes, absolutely. You can feel physical symptoms, physical presence.
Yes, we've had some guests
emotionally.
Who've talked about it. Yeah. We have. They didn't call it demonic oppression, but they have talked about how the physical body changes under possession, and the face changes. I've seen people shapeshift. I've seen some of the most good-hearted people, let's say under the influence of alcohol, which apparently is a portal for a lot of people. I've seen them shapeshift.
Under the influence of what? I'm sorry.
Of alcohol, I'm not talking about somebody who's drunk. I'm talking about that under the influence of alcohol, you open yourself up to this possession, and I've seen people physically change. It's scary. Their eyes change. Their facial features change.
Well, I've seen that as well in people that I know where they were under the influence of alcohol, where they just seem to become a different person.
Yeah,
and I'm not so sure. Where you looked into their eyes and you felt like you didn't know them.
Yeah, see, I'm not so sure their personality's changing because they're drunk or whatever. I think it's very possible that if they've opened themselves up under that state of mind.
And I have read about that.
This happens,
Where that's scary. Where spirits do try to get into bodies that are weak and like, you know, under the influence or... But this is something that, as far as the demonic oppression, I was telling the lady that screened me, it's something that I've experienced. For now over a year.
And, you're going through the change? What happened to you?
Yeah. Well, no, I'm not going through the change.
I mean,
I don't know exactly where it started. I started, I used to live in Virginia Beach. Met a friend there that had moved from California, and she was really into Edgar Cayce, the New Age thing, and I was kind of at a point in my life where I was searching. I've always believed in God, but there were certain things that I was questioning, and, you know, I just felt like there was more to the story than I grew up Baptist. And I started searching and met this lady, and she had her own theory and didn't agree with everything Edgar Cayce said, but you know, she believed that Jesus was the way shower. That's how she described him, as the way shower, as, you know, how we can all be like that. Well, that was a little much for me. And I started experiencing kind of weird things then.
I mean, like what? What would happen
like,
to you?
Like I started having visions. I started seeing like colors, you know, all this with my eyes closed. I started feeling like I would walk through the house and feel like something just like a totally, like I was walking through.
Would your physical features change?
Or something, you know, just all of a sudden where, you know, it was just like freezing cold where I was walking through. I would feel things like I would be laying in bed and it would literally feel like one of my cats had jumped up on the foot of my bed and I would, you know, look up and there was nothing there.
All right. Would your physical features change?
Pardon?
Would your physical features change?
Mm-mm.
No.
Not
See,
at all.
I think you've been possessed. Definitely not what you would call demonic oppression. I think you've been possessed. And I don't know if you've been able to battle that off or not. Got to take this break. We'll be right back. Be one of the first on your block to have a J.C. Webster CD. That's right. Invite them over, have a barbecue, and then listen to J.C. screaming. What a great way. You don't have to listen to music or anything else, just the J.C. Webster CD. We're going to give you After Dark for free when you buy the J.C. Webster CD for $39.95. I'm kidding. You get the After Dark newsletter, you subscribe or renew, you'll get the J.C. Webster CD with it. So take advantage of that. There's just a couple dollar plus shipping and handling fee. Call 1-888-727-5505 or go online at coasttocoastam.com. Hello, people of Earth. You are listening to Coast AM. Let's go to the phones. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with us. Hello there.
Good morning, George. This
morning.
Is Ted from Detroit. How you doing
Hey,
tonight?
Great, Ted. How's Motown?
We're a little down, but we've been there before. We'll be back.
Yeah, sure will. But I'll tell you what is down. The Tigers. What has happened to them?
Oh, the past few days, they've really come alive. They won, I think, about four out of their last five games. I think, you know, most teams go through a string of bad times during the season. Theirs just happened to be right at the beginning.
Man, they were predicted to do very, very well this year, weren't they?
Oh, that a lot of experts were picking them to be the best team in baseball, and it may still end up that way. If they can get some pitching, but
that's where I'll do my old knuckleball routine. I'll try out for the Tigers instead.
Relief.
Yeah, if I could even get it to the plate.
Hey, well, that's been part of their problem so far this season.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
The reason I'm calling you is you had a caller the other night who was talking about speaking to Detroit, that they were wondering why Detroit hasn't come out with an electric car, and they were talking about that the EV1 that program.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, a couple things. First off, General Motors is going to have a production car called the Volt. It's going to be out in 2010, and they've done basically a mini Manhattan project. They've squeezed about 10 years of engineering into about 3 or 4 years, and right now, about 3 miles from me, they're testing the battery packs out right now, and that'll be not only for that car, but they're planning on using that technology in other cars. And
they're very aggressive.
Oh, absolutely.
Them.
And, you know, a lot of people like to knock on Detroit, especially out in Hollywood, unfortunately, because it's pretty easy. But what a lot of people don't realize is that the middle class and most of the economy of the United States was built on the backs of the auto industry. And, you know, Detroit's become a whipping boy for a lot of people in Washington when there's a lot of other targets that are a lot more deserving of it.
God, I would love to see Detroit's economy pop back. Because that means the rest of this country would start to roll again.
Oh, it's the engine that drives the economy. And
sure is.
Sooner people in control start realizing that, it'd be a lot better for the whole country. As far as the EV1 goes, the person you had the other night was talking about how GM rounded them all up and crushed them in the desert, and it worked really good. And that the documentary really, you know, lambasted GM about that. But what they don't realize is that was a test project, and it was experimental, and it was nearing the end of its lifetime. And in order for GM to keep it going, the liability costs would have been prohibitive. The batteries would have started on fire, and, you know, as things get older, and most of the cars were basically prototyped to production, so the cost for replacement parts would have been excessive. So they really didn't have much of a choice.
And they probably didn't want these vehicles to get in the hands of other people, right?
Oh, exactly. And, you know, and right now there's so much other technology, and it just seems like it's not being covered in the national media. I know GM and Chrysler both have programs where they have hydrogen fuel cell vehicles that are Detroit, or GM has them in Washington, Los Angeles, and New York, where they're having fleets of these cars out. And the only exhaust that comes out of the tailpipe is water vapor.
Well, you can't beat that. Is it your impression that the automobile industry is now starting to get a little peeved with the oil industry?
Yeah, because, you know, the oil industry has pretty much locked Detroit into the use of, you know, fossil fuels, and or, you know, so-called fossil fuels. I'm kind of agreeing with you on the abiotic thing, but
theory. Yeah.
They've killed off a lot of the problems. Like, for instance, you know, the E85, that's the only alternative. Well, there's a lot of subsidies in that, and you end up using more oil producing the darn stuff than it takes you have in savings. As far as, you know, hydrogen, you could have hydrogen fuel stations. There's a lot of prototypes where you could just draw water vapor out of the air, separate it into hydrogen and oxygen, sell off the oxygen, and use the hydrogen as a fuel. And, you know, how are the oil companies going to make money off of that? Do you think they're going to allow that to happen?
No.
And that is a proven technology. It's just, you know, it takes an investment and a dedication to do it on a mass scale. And that's something that, you know, the powers that be that are making a lot of money and pretty much, you know, excuse the expression, but it seems like the oil companies are just raping the economy.
Well, they are. They are.
People, you know, and the politicians in Washington talk like, you know, that people spending money to buy gas, that's just like just another expense for them. But they don't realize that there's a lot of people that are middle income and lower that takes away. They have to decide, you know, how much we're going to cut back on food, you know, how much we're going to have to dial down the thermostat, you know, how much am I going to not be able to pay for my kids for college just so I can pay more to the oil companies. And, you know, I don't want to go on a rant, but I used to work in the in the securities industry, and basically the only thing that's driving the price of oil up is speculation on Wall Street. There's no real sound supply and demand reason for the price of oil to be at its peak right now, other than people trying to drive it up and make money selling oil futures.
Sure, and the weak dollar. That's
contributing. Oh, absolutely. That's the main reason. That's a whole other kettle of fish with the Federal Reserve.
That's a disaster.
I can't believe we're going to give a private bank control over our economy and have them act as a regulatory agency. I mean, that's insane.
That's what they always wanted.
Oh, yeah. They've been trying to do that for years. And, you know, they've done such a bang-up job with the dollar, I'm sure they'll do a real good job with Wall Street.
Good point. Hey, Ted, thanks for the call. East of the Rockies, welcome to Coast on the air. Hi there.
How's it going?
Good, sir. Good.
Yeah, you know. We had some stuff. I don't know if you guys heard about it, but Wednesday night, just a little north of Kokomo, they had some unexplained.
Had the story. They say they were fighter jets that.
Yeah, they said they were F-16s shooting flares.
What do you think?
Well, I was eyewitness to it. I live about 20 miles south of that.
What'd you see?
I was out in the porch, and my wife and I, we were just looking north. Because our porch sits north, and I saw something come down from the sky, symmetrical, with about 15 lights. Could have been 20. I was, you know, at first I was startled. I thought they might have been F-16s. But once I got a good look at it, I saw it rotating a little bit, and all of a sudden it came down and leveled out. Just leveled out in the air.
Meteors don't do that, and F-16s don't do that.
No, they don't. And this is where it gets wacky. Now, these things were rotating counterclockwise, and when they got to the end, you could see it disappear. Then all of a sudden, it took off upward, but it just vanished. It was just fast. You know, there a lot of people up north were saying where it happened, said it was like a fireball or something, but we were just far enough out to see that it wasn't a fireball. We could see each individual light.
And now when it took off to go back up, the lights obviously went with it, right?
Well, they started to, and then it was so fast it just vanished.
It was gone.
We don't know which way it went.
Yeah.
And here's where it gets kind of wacky. This happened at 10:30 at night.
Okay.
Now we called local sheriff to see if anybody else had seen this. Well, we called so fast, you know. Nobody had really said anything. Well, we waited about, I'd say probably about 15 minutes, called local news, and they started getting calls flooding in. Well, apparently what happened was there was a real loud sonic boom, and it shook the ground and everybody and the houses and everything. Now, news broke in saying it was breaking news. We flipped on the television because we didn't know what was going on. We were amazed at what we had seen. Well, we turn on the news, and they break in. They said, we have a breaking story out there in Kokomo, and it says there's a report of a plane down. And so we're thinking, well, what we just saw, maybe, you know, we don't know what happened, but we saw it take off, you know, it just vanished.
Yeah.
Well, later on, they say that they couldn't find any debris, they couldn't find anything, and they said that they thought it was F-16. Well, later in the next morning, we woke up, we wanted to see what was going on. They said that they'd have a full report in the morning. Well, they said it was a meteor shower. Well, at noon, they still didn't really know. 18 hours later, they said the Air Force National Guard or something was having missions out there, and they were shooting off flares. Well, I can tell you right now, I've seen F-16s all my life. I've been to air shows. I've seen all kinds of stuff, and those weren't F-16s, I can tell you that right now.
And did you see any F-16s in the area, like they might be trying to chase this thing?
Here's the thing, you know, this is my theory. I mean, you know, now 20 miles away at night, you can't really see F-16s very well. Actually, you probably can't see them at all because they're little. and the afterburners aren't real bright. You know, they're kind of a stealth-like object. You know, they want to be stealth. Well, I got to thinking about it. 18 hours later, they're saying that was them and that they went too fast and created a sonic boom.
They did the same thing in Stephenville, Texas, where they came out later, a couple weeks later in this case.
Well, see, now this something's not adding up here because they interviewed a local police authority, and when they started getting all these calls in, his first instinct was to call Grissom Air Force Base, which is up there.
Sure.
They called Grissom to see if they had any planes in the area, and they said no. And he said, well, you need to call up Fort Wayne and see if they have any missions or anything going on, and they said no.
See?
Now, something's going on.
Something's going on, exactly. Thanks for the call. Great eyewitness report there. Next up, we'll go to our international line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George. It's Jeff and Aurelia.
Hey, Jeff.
How are you doing?
Wonderful. Thanks.
I'm going to tease you because the purpose of my call was to give you some information to help you with your pitch. But I always like to
my knuckleball.
Yeah. I always like to give you some tidbits about what's been going on around here. Earthquake was felt as far into Ontario as a place called Kitchener. It's about 50 miles west of Toronto. And that was the...
That's way up there. I thought it was just as far as Chicago. It went even higher.
Yeah, well, that's why I was surprised when you mentioned it, that you hadn't had anybody from your old stomping grounds in Detroit mentioning it to you.
No, because my parents never called on this.
Yeah, because, like I said, they felt it in Kitchener because it was on the news. And for the first time, there's a ski resort that's at a place called Collingwood, which is not that far from here and about, 80 miles north of Toronto. They are going to be having skiing tomorrow and on Sunday. And this is the latest it's been since this resort opened about 60 or 70 years
bizarre.
Ago.
And I assume artificial snow they've made?
Well, we were absolutely inundated. The thing is that the man-made snow that they were able to make along with the amount of snow that we got this year was just absolutely phenomenal. And in fact, they were on the news today. They were interviewing some people coming up from Toronto who had arrived with both their skis as well as their golf clubs because they were going to be able to golf on one day and ski on the other.
How bizarre! Okay, what's my knuckleball tip?
Well, I don't know if they still have. There's a magazine called Science Digest that I used to subscribe to back in the early '80s. But there was one issue, and what they did is that they took the pitch and they broke it down because everything is based on physics, and they actually took it both from the batter's standpoint as well as the pitcher's standpoint, and they broke it down millisecond by millisecond as to what the dynamics were that were taking place between both the pitcher's point of view as well as the batter's. And if I don't know if it's possible, but it was either 82 or 83, there is an issue that has that whole sequence all broken down I found it absolutely phenomenal, and it was so informative. And I'm not a baseball oriented person at all, but I just found the physics of it was just quite astounding, and I think that if you're able to get your hands on it and have a look at it, it might be quite advantageous in your endeavor.
Okay, I'll do that, and I got to call my buddy Tim Dorsey, who runs KTRS here in St. Louis, which is our affiliate, but they also carry the Cardinal baseball games, and get him to get my audition next spring. I'll get myself ready. I'll be 58 at the time. I'll get on the mound down there and throw my knuckleball and see what happens. And who knows? Maybe they'll keep me as a Cardinal pitcher. However, they've got to understand that Coast to Coast comes first. So my starting games, if I'm in the rotation, would have to be around my schedule and Coast to Coast. So I'd only be able to play a few games a year, I would guess. Let's go to our wild card line. You're on Coast. I'm serious here. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, George. How are you?
I'm good.
I'm calling from Oaklawn, Illinois.
Uh-huh.
I'm a long-time listener, and I cannot believe I got through. I'm stunned.
You did, and we even have a few minutes for you. How about that?
Awesome. I wanted, the first thing I thought of after the earthquake this morning, I'm like, oh, George is going to talk about it right away.
Oh, man, I tell you, you know, when I'm in L.A., I've been in one little tiny one, and, you know, I come to St. Louis, I think, you know what, did I escape the big one from L.A.? And I never thought I'd get hit with one here, even though I know the New Madrid Fault is here, but it just never dawned on me.
I know. I never thought that. Can I tell you what happened this morning, what I experienced?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay, well, the alarm went off, and I woke my husband up. I'm like, get up. It always takes him a minute. I'm like, get up, take a shower, you know, take a shower. And he was in the shower, and then I was, like, just laying there, and I thought I was half asleep. I'm like, and I started yelling at him. I said, what are you doing in the bed? I thought he was, like, in the bed, like, jumping on the bed or something.
Trampoline jumps, right?
Or, like, rolling around trying to get comfortable. And turns out it was an earthquake. And then I have my radio because I always lay there and listen to Coast at night.
Uh-huh.
And I listen to Don Wade and Roma in the morning. First thing I turned on WLS, and sure enough, there was an earthquake. Couldn't believe it.
I know it. I was on CNN this morning talking about it. And they were one of the first to have it on the air. I mean, it was something.
I know.
It's a weird feeling.
Exciting week between that and the Cougar loose in Chicago.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Okay, thanks for calling.
Thank you, George.
And you keep listening, no doubt about that. Hey, I'm going to be catching an early flight, so I'm going to leave you with a surprise next hour, by the way, which I'm sure you will all thoroughly enjoy. But those of you who live in the Washington, D.C. area, why don't you come out to the X Conference and just go to the coasttocoastam.com website, get the link that Lex has posted there. It'll take you straight to the x-conference.com website, and come on by. It is one of my very first East Coast conference trips. I've been to WABC before and places like that, but this is one of my first conference trips, and so I look forward to seeing all of you at the event. They've got a great group of headline speakers. Absolutely riveting people. So we'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.